It's good to be with you. I already felt your generosity and your love and your prayers, and the parsonage is beautiful, and I know a lot of work went into that. I saw that before it was done, so I know a lot of work went into that. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility that you have, and my office got redone. I've only got to sit in it for a little while this week, but Ron assures me that nap time is 2:30, and then I'll be... But thanks to all that, a part in that. And the movers, that was a big job. Dean up in the sound booth, he says yesterday when there was the skeet shoot, and he said, you seemed kind of, quiet and so on. And he said, I would call that jet lag. And I said, that's it. That's what it feels like, jet lag. All your stuff is not where it's supposed to be, and you feel like you're in a different place. So that'll go away after a week or so. But today I just wanted to thank everybody because it has really been a good welcoming, and some meals were brought over and all those things. Got some good cooks, so looking forward to everything that's before us. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, I just pray that the message would be heard, that it would be your words, not mine, and that today as we worship together, as we look to you for truth this morning, that you would just speak to every person right where they're at. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I thought this morning, this is different for me. I'm not used to two morning sermons, so it's kind of like deja vu. And I can already tell it's going to be a trick to be able, as a public speaker, you try not to say something twice. But now I have to say something twice. So I'll miss, I'm sure, on a lot of it. But just a couple of things. If I come down there during a sermon at times, I'm not coming after you. You don't have to run for the door or anything. But sometimes I'm more comfortable down there in certain circumstances. And so just bear with me on that. The other thing is, and I told the other group this, I am very transparent. Sometimes that's not good, but I am. And I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just telling you that I'm transparent. So if sometimes, I may talk about my own experiences and stuff. And I just want you to know that, you can ask my wife or others that know us as a couple, we're just who we are. Here, there, home, out in public, whatever. That may scare you after a while, but for now, we'll leave it at that. When I was thinking about what to preach about today, I wanted to stay with the holiday of Labor Day. So I decided to think about that as a general thought about there's workers here. There are you that are self-employed, or maybe you work for a company. Maybe you're retired from a company. Maybe you've had many jobs during your work years. Maybe you're studying in college right now, thinking about that career. But I just want you to, the meaning of Labor Day and what it means to us. I know for us, it means going back to school. My daughter-in-law, Stacy's here today, and her two grandchildren, Camden and Kerrigan, and she goes back to school Tuesday as a teacher. So she's looking so forward to that. Yeah. It means that for most of us, the kids are getting back to school. Getting our last vacations in, thinking about that last cookout, that last maybe day off of work before the fall starts. It seems like we're kind of on a different schedule in the summer. You know, we're doing things that we don't get to do the rest of the year, and we don't keep quite as close a schedule as usual. Labor Day, first Monday in September, and it's a creation of the labor movement to dedicate to the social and economic achievements of the workforce, something to be proud of, something that many, many long hours have been put into that to make America what it is today. So, and certainly the strength and prosperity of our country rest upon the workers. So we celebrate Labor Day in thinking of our labors. Well, as I was thinking about, what do you talk about on Labor Day? What would I like to bring to you as a thought for work, school, home, church? And I picked out the one word, integrity. So that's where I'm going to start today, about the thought of integrity. And before I do that, I want you to know some thoughts that I have about this come from a book that I have read sometime in the past. And I would encourage you to get the book. You can, I don't know if it's on the screen. It is on the screen. They did that to me earlier. It's not on the back screen. So the eyes in the back of my head are covered with hair this morning. And that book that you see up there is a good little book to pick up. It's not something you're going to read cover to cover, probably in one or two settings. But the purpose of the book, it was written about Proverbs. And Stephen Scott, the author, this is about his life. This is about how the book of Proverbs changed his life. He was, I think, in his young 30s when he discovered that he couldn't keep a job. He wasn't the father he wanted to be. He wasn't the husband he wanted to be. He had some education. He was very motivated, very driven, very creative. But every time he would get a good position, a good paying position, he couldn't keep the job. And out of his frustration and a low in his life, he sought the counsel of Dr. Gary Smalley. And he told Gary about his troubles and was hoping that Gary would help him unravel life and help him to do something with his talent. And he said, well, come back in a week and we'll talk about this. We'll try to put something together. So he did. When he sat down, Gary said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Bible. We're going to take the book of Proverbs. This is what I want you to do. This is your assignment for the next 3 months. I want you to take day number one, first chapter of Proverbs. Just so happens there's 31 chapters, so there's enough to fill the month. And each day I want you to take out pencil and paper, and I want you to write down as you read that chapter what God is saying to you. And then the next day, take the next chapter and do the same. Not only do I want you to write down what God is saying to you, but I want you to start implementing those changes in your life, what God is telling you about. He said, now, I know what you're thinking. You want me to go through this for 3 months, three different times. And as you do that, if you've ever done that with God's Word, just stayed in a chapter or just stayed in one area, every time you read that scripture, you see something else. So he not only kept him at it for 3 months, but his assignment then was to go 6 months. And he just carried that throughout life. He would just do that for his devotions. Well, what happened to him in about 3 years, well, in 6 months, he really changed his life around as far as family and being dad and being husband. But he began to really find out what God had made him for. And he ended up being an owner of a broadcasting company, multimillionaire, very successful, very charitable. And he turned his life around by simply applying God's truth to his life. So today I took us to Hebrews chapter 11. And I've taken that one word, integrity, and we're going to talk about that, okay, how it fits in our life. And while I'm thinking about that, I want you to just imagine for a moment that you're going to make some changes based on God's word. You've done it before. You can do it again. And I purposely had the whole chapter 11 read today. And I know that was a long scripture reading. But you know what? We need to hear more of God's word. I heard a few comments about that scripture as we were praying up here this morning for this service. You know, you could take almost any sentence out of chapter 11 there and really think long, deep thoughts about the meaning there. I think of a little further down, I'm quite a Dave Ramsey fan. I really believe it takes stress off of families to get out of debt. I believe that it helps them to prepare for life in many ways. I think it frees you up to be who God wants you to be. So I've taught those classes. But he uses Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. And I'm not going to go into that, but you need to read it because what I find about Hebrews, you know, it's not about money and it's not about material things. It's about relationship. And if you start looking at the book of Hebrews and thinking the word relationship, it'll make sense. That's what the whole book is about. How do I get along with others? How do I get along with God? How do I get along with my family? How do I be the person that God wants me to be? So back to verse 3 there. Integrity. Let me give you a definition, okay? Because I think it's important for us to be thinking about in terms of what does the word mean? How does that word apply to my life and so on? Integrity is a concept of consistent actions and values and methods, measures, principles, expectations, and outcomes. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness or accuracy of one's actions. It's one thing for me to say something, but it's another thing for me to put that into action, for me actually to live out what I'm telling you and to be a person of our word. It goes on to say that integrity can be regarded as the opposite of hypocrisy. You know, there's nothing, I don't know about you, but I hate it when someone tells me one thing and does something else. That's a toughie for me. And I don't want to be guilty of that myself. But in regards to internal consistency as a virtue, it suggests that parties holding apparently conflicting values should account for the discrepancy or alter their beliefs. You have beliefs. You hold fast to those beliefs. You use them every day. And when we don't do that, you know, then certainly the Holy Spirit will tell us and probably people will tell us that we're not doing what we said. And then it goes on in the definition there. It says the word integrity stems from the Latin word, which really means whole or complete. So integrity is the inner sense of wholeness. You know, when you do what you say you're going to do and you complete it, there's a sense of wholeness in that, that you feel good before others, before God. So in this contest, in context, integrity is the inner sense of wholeness. And it derives from the qualities such as honesty and consistency of character. So, and it goes on, have integrity to the extent that they act according to values, beliefs, and principles they claim to hold. So we're going to get into the whole thought of integrity. And let's go to verse 3 there. Maybe you want to look on or it's going to be on the screen. Couple of things I want to mention. If you haven't seen a version of the English Standard Version, the top verse 3 there is from English Standard Version. The other one's the NIV, which you're probably familiar with. I have for years studied out of the NIV and the King James and the New American Standard, and as they come along, and this ESV, I'm not sure how old it is. It's probably less than 5 years old that it's come out. The difference between the two, and you can see it in this verse, it really shows very apparent in this verse. The Bible study program that I use in my computer is based a lot on the English Standard Version, and so I've gotten used to it because it's there. I don't necessarily, it doesn't flow as well for me to read, but listen to these two scriptures and what they say. They're saying the same thing, but one's a little different than the other. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Now, that means something. To look at the NIV, it's a little harder to get all that meaning out of, but if you do a little word study, you'd get it. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Duplicity means to be hypocritical, to be a hypocrite, to say one thing, do another. So really, integrity of the upright, it does guide them. And that's what we're guided by, integrity. That's what we're guided by is what God has told us to do. We see the truth, we do it. So I want to break that down into three areas of life. So let's look at, first of all, let's look at the integrity of our God. I'm always in awe when I look at the things of God, when I look at his attributes, when I see his differences from you and I, when I know that it was spoke about in Sunday school class about spiritual warfare. And I didn't say this to the earlier group, but there's some really benefits of knowing the attributes of God, especially in spiritual warfare. There's only one like our God. He's all present. He's all knowing. And he's all powerful. He's the only one that has those attributes. He's the only one that possesses all three of those. So we get that. We've heard that. We've studied that. But I want you to realize that there's a point I want to make, and that is that when you think of God, try to get this into your thought process. He's incapable of a wrong decision. Huh? That's right. God has never made a wrong decision. Ever. He never will. He's incapable of that. He always makes the right decision. Believe me, that's going to help you when you're struggling with something that you've got a challenge in front of you. You've got a life circumstance you don't understand. You know, the why me syndrome. Why is this happening to me? God is incapable of a wrong decision. So that helps us to take anything in life, any situation, any challenge, any set of circumstances, and look at that as, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? What am I supposed to learn from this? How am I supposed to use this in my life? I don't know about you, but anything that I've come through as a challenge or as something that seemed at some point to be impossible to get through, when you do get through it and you're on the other side, you certainly are a different person. You certainly are stronger, more faithful, more dependent on God by the time you reach the other side. So I think about these things that happen in life, and I always like to have that thought that God is incapable of a wrong decision. So the thing I'm facing today has something to do with His allowing that to change my life in some way. That helps. It helps me. I hope it helps you. God deals in all truth. I was kind of in awe the first time I realized that as a fact in my life, that this is truth. Truth is something that is always the same when it was written, and it will go on forever as being the same in truth. If it doesn't hold up to that, if it doesn't hold up and go forward or go back or whatever, it's not truth. Truth is truth. And God deals in truth. Sometimes truth is hard for us to hear. Sometimes we don't always accept it that well. But God's word is truth. If they were to do one of those time capsule things and put some things in an airtight container for somebody to open up 10,000 years from now, you could put a lot of things in there. I doubt if our cell phones would mean much to anybody, or our car keys or something, or maybe our pictures or whatever, but certainly they could take this book out of that time capsule, and when they opened the pages, the same truth would apply. That's truth. That's something that we can trust and use in our lives. So God deals in all truth. That's His integrity. God is who He says He is. What God promises is for all of us if we accept it by faith. I learned from my wife that when you're struggling and you're going through things, to pray back to God His word. Have you ever done that? Do you ever take a promise out of God's word and say, God, you wrote this and that's mine and I accept it by faith and pray it back to Him? See how that works. Janice will tell the story of our middle son, Jeff, was coming back from Iraq and had injuries and at Walter Reed for a while. She was there for 3 or 4 weeks with him, and both of us were, oh, wow, can't be in the Army anymore. He's been injured. What's going to happen? And she prayed God's word back to him about providing work and providing for his family and that a man is worth his wages. And just prayed God's own word back to him. And by the time he was healed up and ready to get back on his feet, he was employed. It works. It's holding God to his own standard, his own word. He has integrity. And if we want to learn about integrity, we can see that in God. We can see that in how he handles relationships with us. You know, I meet people on the street all the time that want to tell me that they won't say that they're atheists, but they like the word agnostic. Well, there's probably a God, but he's not a personal God. He doesn't care about me. He's all about himself. And you know, that doesn't go very far in the light of, if God's only concerned about himself, then how do you explain the cross? Why would someone give their only son to die for all sin, to be the sacrifice for your sin and my sin, so that we can be holy in his sight, that we can find righteousness through his blood? As we move on from the integrity of God, let's talk about the second thing, the integrity of our lives. I was always surprised at how integrity can be pretty elusive for some people. And wouldn't it be nice to see some integrity in politics? There's an oxymoron, huh? wouldn't it be nice to see that in all business dealings? I can remember when things were done with a handshake. You can't even do anything anymore without signing a contract or making yourself to 30 pages of legal mumbo-jumbo just to, carry on with whatever transaction you're doing. And I think it's so important for us to realize, I'm kind of putting that together, home, work, school, at church. We need to think of us, integrity. How does that apply? I think that integrity at home, our children, our spouses should know before we even make decisions probably how that's going to come out because of integrity. I often think of, I'm not even sure where I picked that phrase up, take the high road. You have two decisions in front of you. You have two decisions, neither one are bad. Both decisions are good. But if you can think of it, take the high road. Which decision, you know, not only affects me, but affects others, and which one is the best for all concerned? That's the high road. Always, always just decide in your mind to take the high road. There's no decision in that then. You can look at it, and with God's help and the Holy Spirit giving you the wisdom you need, you can say, oh, here's the higher decision. Let's take in the high road. Sometimes it costs you. Sometimes it's more time, money, expense. It just is sometimes. But that's okay. The high road, you never can go wrong with taking the high road. Then I think of among us. You know, integrity, I think, will produce one thing that's very important, and Jesus prayed about it before he left this earth. Unity. If you know that what I say is what I'll do, that produces security, and security produces unity, and unity is something that we need in the body of Christ. We need to be as one. So when the world looks on and sees who we are, they see us as one. They see us as people who mean what we say, and we behave like, you know, like we talk, like we say we believe. We behave that way. So among us, very important. In our community, I was thinking about that. I'll talk a little more when we get to what the church needs to do. But in our community, people need to know that we do what we say we're going to do. I was at the local hardware buying some items, and I was trying to get a couple of keys made. And one of the keys, I'm pretty sure it might have been made out of stone. It was that old. But anyway, they were looking for a key blank, and it took about 20 or 30 minutes. And I finally said, well, you know, let me just do some checking because maybe that lock on the church is so old. And he said, what church? And then when he went to the cash registry, he finally did find the key, and I was checking out. He said, so what church is it that you want this to go under? And I said, well, it's for the parsonage, or it's my personal keys. Don't worry about it. He said, oh, no, which church? And I told him. And he says, oh, yeah, well, they have an account here, or they're all in the computer here. And I said, well, I'm the new pastor of the church. That's a good test. And I was warmly welcomed. That's good. That reflects on all of you, by the way. I was very warmly welcomed. I appreciate that. So we need to have integrity in the community. And now as we move a little bit further, the integrity of our lives. Let's see that next slide. There's a couple of things here that'll help us a little bit. You can see that well enough to read. I can see it on the back wall, so I'm pretty sure you can see it. You know, once we are people of integrity, before God, before others, this is what you can depend on. The Lord doesn't ask about your ability. Boy, I'm glad about that. I am so glad He doesn't depend on my ability. Only my availability. If you're available, God will use you. And if you prove your dependability, which is part of integrity, right? The Lord will increase your capabilities. That's pretty powerful. That really has a lot to do with integrity of our lives. I want to move to, I don't know if you can read that, so I may have to read it for you. I apologize. When you pull pictures off the internet, you can't always manipulate them like you want. Wisdom is knowing the right path to take. We can pray for wisdom. James says that, you know, anybody who lacks it can pray for it and God will give wisdom. And wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge is a bunch of stuff you know. Wisdom is, how do you use that? They're different. And only God gives wisdom. That's a God-given thing. Again, you can look in the world and see that's true. Lots of people have knowledge. Lots of knowledge. Lots of degrees behind their name. But they don't have wisdom. Now that goes on to say, wisdom is knowing which path to take. Integrity is taking it. Wow. You ever wrestle with something like that? You know it's right. You know that's what you're supposed to do. But there's still lots of little voices that are saying, no, you should do it this way. Or what do you care? Or how come you're thinking about that? And you just know that's what you're supposed to do. Now you've got to have the courage to do it. Just take the path that wisdom tells you to take. Integrity. I want to move on and talk about our church for a minute. I think this is pretty important today. Part of the reason I wanted to lay this foundation of integrity. That's not something you can just look at people and say you have. You can't do that. You have to earn that. You have to earn their viewing your life and watching. Are you really a person of integrity? That's like coming someplace and saying you have to respect me because. No, you earn respect. You earn the right of people's trust of setting that idea of, you know, security that they're not going to do something to hurt them or lead them astray. Well, I do believe this, and I've heard it, I've read it, I've said in seminars about it. The spiritual tide of the church will never go any higher than the leader. Wow. Neither will the integrity of the church go any higher than the leader. I almost hate to hear that out of my own mouth, to be honest with you. That's a lot of responsibility. But I believe that's true. My hope is in the years to come that we will learn to chase after God in such a way that that'll be what drives us. That'll be what we're thinking about when our eyes open in the morning. That'll be the thought that's on our mind when we hit the pillow at night that we were chasing after God that day. Yeah, we have lots of things to do in life. But our integrity, our ability to look and see where God's going, is to hitch on to his wagon and not to have it our own way and pushing in a direction that God's not leading us. Again, my hope is to lead you into deeper and deeper relationship with your Lord and Savior, with God the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. I sometimes think that we are we're so programmed. We get up in the morning and we go through the same things to get ready for work or church or school or whatever, and we just kind of go on, you know, an operation where we're just in a mode of just doing one thing after another, and it's so familiar. And God has reasons for all of us to be together. There's some reason why you live in this area. There's some reason why you go to this church. And it's more than just your attendance. I think God wants all of us to go deeper with him. And I think integrity will help us to get there, because if I know that you have integrity and I have integrity and we're both people of our word and we make commitments, and certainly life throws things at us and we miss commitments. But you know what? That's not the important thing. The important thing is that we can say, wow, I goofed. And I'll try never to let that happen again, but life, circumstances, and just go on. I think that's very, very important. And again, as we live this integrity together, and that, you know, we just keep chasing after God, community is going to see that. They're going to see that. They're going to want what you have. They're going to want to come and be a part of something that's active, that's moving, that's running after God. And that's my hope for us. The last slide there says a lot. And the worship team can make their way up if they want to this morning. Integrity is taking the responsibility to do the right thing. Now, I've even been places in public where something needs to be done. Do you know what I mean? Maybe there's a behavior going on or something that's just real obvious there in public that's happening, and everybody's just ignoring it, going around it. Sometimes it's just taking the responsibility to do the right thing, regardless of what people think or what people are going to do with it. I remember a few instances in public. One day in particular, this is many years ago, and there was some child abuse going on right there in front of me. I mean, it was like I had to step between the adult and the child. That could have ended up really nasty. It could have. Probably it went on after they left the store, but it stopped there. And, you know, a lot of bad things could have happened in that. A lot of bad things. I don't know, in today's, I'd probably be a little more, a little older now too, but I probably would think that through a little more before I'd stepped in where I stepped in that day. But there's certain things that we have to, in our schools, in our town. We've been quiet for a long time, and now the Ten Commandments and prayers at stake in public places. I mean, we've just been quiet. Well, as we close in the song today, I'm going to say a prayer as they're making their way up here, the worship team is. But it's good to be with you. And I promise Janice and I will do our best to start learning names. And again, if you can just put it on your forehead in a permanent ink for a couple of weeks, that would help. I actually thought maybe I'll put this out there. Maybe somebody has the wherewithal and the talent that if you could take pictures of families and put names with them, that would be a big help. I don't know if somebody does that or not, but I know I won't get it done because I'm always visiting and shaking hands, but eventually we'll get the names together. And I want you to know one other thing. Janice and I are very approachable. Don't ever feel like your need is important. Phone call. I like to visit. I can't get them all done. I can't get to everyone's house in a short time. I always feel take things by priority, and things are going on now. But certainly, if you have a need, a concern, I would want to know. I have a beautiful office and chairs there. If you need to come and see me, talk to me, I'd be honored to help you in any way I could. So, Father, as we think about our lives and how integrity is so important for us to have in our home, at work, in the church, pray, Lord, that you would find us as a people who honor what we say, do the right thing. I know your Holy Spirit can guide and direct us and speak to us at times so we hear your voice guiding and leading. And Father, help us to take that high road that I talked about. Thank you for your people today. Thank you, Lord, for their love and their encouragement to Janice and I. Thank you, Lord, for all the provisions they've made. We ask today as we close in song that the hearts of each one that was here today would be warm, that they would have seen your word in a different way. Maybe they'll take Proverbs 11 and just read it again. Maybe they'll read it all week and just begin to glean from that what you have for them. Thank you, Lord, today, for you are generous, awesome. We love you and adore you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.